Is anybody here this morning? All right, I'm glad you're here, whether you know it or not. I'm glad you're here. I'm going over this message. I was writing the message, and it's kind of like, man, we've been doing this for a long time, and yet it's only the fourth one. You know, and because I've been talking about this love and being a genuine Christian and just wrestling with this and what it means to be a Christian. Because, you know, people can say they're Christians, and they're all over the board. You know, they're liberals and there's conservatives. There's this and there's that. They're everywhere. And we have this tension and we have this, well, I'm a Christian. I can live this and do this. And I'm a Christian. I can't do this. And you know, we got this name Christian. And I've been challenging us that Jesus never used it. Jesus never called you or I or anyone a Christian. He had a different name for us. And the series has been based kind of on this name that Jesus had for us. And that's what's kind of frightening, because when he gave us the name, well, he defined it. And he said, this is what it is. And if you want to be a Christian, this is what a Christian is. And this is how a Christian lives. And he spelled it out, and he gave the picture of what it means to be a Christian. And that's what makes it frightening, because you can't be a Christian and be like all these others. And what's amazing to me is, I just want to kind of say this, the messages that I'm sharing with you, the timing could not be better for our church. You know, I was kind of interested. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you know, these things came out. I buy these a long time ago. They print them for us. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. And as I look at that, I realize, you know, God knows we're talking about love. And we're talking about his mercy. And we're talking about his grace. And you know, to me, it's just really interesting to see that God has a timing for us. This week, I had an interesting encounter. 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I might have answered this question differently. I was visiting with a young man this week, and we were kind of sharing our stories. He's telling me the story about raising his family and the choices he made, and the way he raised his family and he led his family was absolutely 100%. 180 degrees different than how I live and how I raise my children. I mean, all the rules and all the principles I had, you know, boys not in the room with the girls, girls not in the room with the boys, you know, sex is what you do when you get married, you know, not before, and all these things that I have taught my kids and the way I raised my kids, he was opposite. I mean, I would be over here, and he was over here. And we had this conversation. Then he asked me this question. Do you think I was wrong? Do you think I was wrong? And it's kind of like, okay, now how do I answer that? Now, 6 months ago, I might have answered a different way that I'm going to share with you how I answered. Because what I answered was this. Well, I can't tell you if you were wrong. Now, if I would have chose to do that, I was wrong. That would have been wrong for me because I made a choice. At a point in my life, I made a choice that I'm going to live by different principles. I made a choice that I'm going to live by a biblical world view. I made a choice that I was going to raise my children in a biblical world view. And so I can't say he was wrong because he didn't make that choice. And I wrestled with that. You know, am I answering right? How do I do that? In these last messages I've been sharing about the messy church, this last series before this one. And this one, as we talk about love, and today I'm going to really bring this alive. Because how do we balance truth and love? How do I balance this? How do I balance? Here's the truth. This is the truth. And how do I balance that with love and grace that God has? You know, how do we do that? And is it really a balancing act? Is it really something I can balance? And I want us to think about this morning. And Jesus made it real simple. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, everybody's going to know it. By what? Anybody? By what? I can't hear you guys. Is anybody out there? By your what? All right. By your love. There's a scripture right there to be on the screen in a minute. They're going to know you're his disciple by your love. You're not going to be known because you got a cross around your neck or some cross earrings. All right. That's not going to say, well, there's a Christian. He's got a cross. You know, I was watching an actress or watching some interview, and the lady had a cross around her neck, but her words did not match that cross. You know, that's not going to be your idea. It's not going to be because you got a Christian bumper sticker on, you know, got that little fish on your car. So, hey, there goes a Christian. Yeah, it's not because I was baptized. Jesus says they're going to know you're a Christian because you have love. It's how you treat one another. It's how you act towards one another. It's how your compassion is towards one another. It's how your attitude is towards one another. See, that's what Jesus is sitting here saying. They're going to know you're Christians by how you act, how you behave, how you treat, not just what you believe. And that's what this series has been about. We're going to finish our building, and we're going to walk into that building. I want people to walk into that building and see us treating each other differently than the world treats others. To see our attitude towards one another. To see our care and our compassion toward, because that's what's going to draw them in. Because that's what Jesus says. And then he goes on, and what's interesting is he tells us, well, what is that love? You know, like I said, we can define Christian any way you want. Three times in the Bible, Jesus never used it. He defines disciple. A disciple is someone who's loved. There's your brand. There's your identity. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Well, now the question is, what is love? How do we define that word love? You know, I love corn. Green beans are okay. Yeah. And I love my wife. Well, how does that fit with I love corn, I love Laura? Is it the same kind of love? How do we balance these things? How do we work with these things? So Jesus defined it for us. He says, listen, you're going to be my disciples when they see your love. Now, what is love? Go to the verse before this and look at what it says here. Let's go ahead and get it. A new command I give you. Remember we talked about this once before. It's not a new command. It's new because of this. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Jesus says, here's how love works. You love as I loved you. I'm going to define it for you. I'm not going to let you try to figure it out. Not let you try to wrestle with what it means. You love others as I have loved you. So the question comes, how has Jesus loved us? How does Jesus love us? I put it right here in the paper. Jesus calls us to love the way he loves. He just wants you to love the way he loves. That's it. It's simple. But how does Jesus love? What kind of love did Jesus have? How did he show that love? And we've been looking through the Gospel of John. And just so you know, the Gospel of John is really a biography of Jesus, all right? And there's four books like that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all biographies of Jesus. And we've been reading John, and these key verses are here in John. And again, he's an older man now. He had walked with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. He had seen and he had encounters with Jesus. He was a firsthand experience with Jesus. All right? That was John. He's one of the last disciples. The others have been put to death, died, killed, murdered. Everything else has happened to him. And John's one of the last disciples. And I kind of see this going on. This is kind of the vision I have. John has been telling stories about Jesus. You know, in a gathering of people like us. You know, let's say he's in a little church gathering. We'd call it a church today. And he's telling these stories about Jesus. I seen Jesus do this. And I was there when this happened. And he's telling these stories. And as he's telling these stories, they're starting to say, John, you're getting old. You know, John, you know, the others have already gone, and you're not going to last much longer. You need to write these stories down. You need to put these stories in writing. And so John begins to write these stories. It's called the Gospel of John. And these stories are the accounts of what he's seen and what he saw. And I want to look at how he begins this book and how he began this writing as he starts telling them, here's what it is, and here's what I've seen, and here's what I experienced. Look at what it says as you look at the scripture. It's on your paper, and it'll be here on the screen. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I want to stop right there for a minute. The Word is Jesus, okay? Just in case you didn't know, here's what this is saying. Here's what John is sitting here saying. John is sitting here saying, you remember that Old Testament? You remember all those books? You know, there's, I think, 39 of them. Anybody? I think there's 39 in the Old Testament. You know, there's 30. Remember those 39 books? God made them come alive in Jesus. The Word became flesh. God's Word, God's truth, became flesh in Jesus Christ. Anybody ever read a book and then go see a movie? Anybody ever read a book and you go see them and you go, you wrestle with that, and because you got a picture in your mind of what that book looked like. You know, Well, God is saying that's what this really is. Jesus became the reality of the Old Testament. You want to know when God said something in the Old Testament, what it looks like? Look to Jesus. It's really easy. You know, when God said this, what does that mean? It means this. There's Jesus living it out. So that's what he's sitting there saying. The Word became flesh, and it dwelled among us. It lived with us. It was dwelling with us. God's Word is alive. It's real. And so he said, here's God's Word. I'm going to write down the living Word of God. It was Jesus Christ. He's the living Word. Here's where he's going. He's going to go say, you want to know what love looks like? Look at Jesus. Look at what he goes on and says. We have seen his glory. Now, we is not you and I, all right? We did not see it. He's seen it. He's talking about him and the disciples and the guys that walk with Jesus. Here's what he's saying. He said, I was with Jesus. I saw this personally. This is not something I heard. This is not hearsay. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Now, this is the key. Full of grace and truth. Circle those words, because we're gonna dwell on this today. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. All right? Both. Not one or the other, but both. This is the challenge, and this is where we dwell today. This is why Christianity is messy. This is why church is messy. This is where it dwells here. Because Jesus was not partially full of grace and partially full of truth, not a 50-50, not half and half. Jesus was full of grace and he was full of truth, both. And the problem comes is we try to balance these. Because here's what we're hearing. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Here's what this is saying. Grace says you're forgiven. Truth says you're a sinner. That's what it says. See, grace says you're going to be okay. Truth says you got a lot of work to do. Grace says you're broken. You're fine. Truth says you're broken. Grace says you're going to be okay and I'm going to love you no matter what. Truth says you're accountable. How do we balance this? And is balance the right word? We can't. It's messy. And if we try to balance that, we lose something. Something's just not quite right. Anybody here have a mother and father? Anybody? All right. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. Did anybody have a mother and a father? Maybe one was graceful and one was truth. One would be the law. That's it. Big stick, that's the law. You misbehave, boom, the hammer drops, right? Anybody have a parent, you know? Then you got that one over here. It's okay, you'll be fine, sweetie. Come on, honey, we'll, you know. You got grace and truth, you know. You got the, you know, some of us had parents like that, you know. And they try to balance that. If you try to balance that, you're going to lose. It just doesn't work. How do you balance grace and truth? How do you balance these kind of situations and these circumstances in our lives? And see, Jesus was full of both grace and truth. And we can't really work it out. And we can't really struggle with it. You know, because, you know, I look back on Jesus and there was times when Jesus was harsh. Walks into the temple, turns the table over, makes the whip. And then there's times when he was compassionate and the people are hungry and there's issues in their lives and he has compassion. There's time when he has what I would call tough love. And then there's times when it's just like he just ignored sin and just blew right by it like there was no issue. And so we got this messiness. And here Jesus walked with this. And how do we walk with that? Because see, if you look at me, I'm more of a one who is, it's the truth. Repent or burn, turn, go to hell. Take your pick. You know, that's kind of, you know, and yet grace is over here saying, listen,
We're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. See, how do we balance this? How do we walk with this? And here Jesus describing. He's full of grace. You ever wonder? You ever see? It's like how Jesus seemed inconsistent. You know, Jesus seemed a little, you know, how can he do that? You know, I'm going to look at a couple other stories in a minute because it's kind of like, how do you do this? How do you work with this? You know, he goes on here. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" That's John the Baptist. Just kind of giving a little commentary there. "Out of the fullness we have all received." Now listen, out of the fullness. Here's that full word is again. Here's something, kind of a side note for this. God never fills anything up. He always overfills it. Just so you know it. Go back to Psalms 23. God anoints you with a cup of oil and your cup overflows. God never fills anything up. It's always overflowing. That's what he's sitting here saying. "Out of the fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given." He's given you grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. And let's just keep going. Grace. That's what he's given you. Jesus has come and he has bought grace. And then he goes on and he talks about Moses. Look at this next part of this verse. "For the law was given," this is the truth. Here's the grace, here's the truth. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is balanced. Jesus is resolving, walking in the midst of the two. How do we do that? No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known. He's saying, "This is what I've seen. Jesus walking in grace and truth, the fullness of it, not some balancing act that, you know, well, it's not fair, it's inconsistent, you know, how do we do that?" It's the fact that Jesus was full of both, 100% grace, 100% truth, and he balanced those two, and he didn't try to resolve them and didn't try to come to a conclusion and say, it's all this or it's all that. Most of us lean one way or the other. Most of us would fall one side. Most, if you're sitting here, you're sitting there going, "I understand the truth because it's the law. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. And that's what I expect." And then some of you are over here on the grace side going, "You know what? We just got to help them. We just got to forgive them. We just got to, and it's just, we'll just have to overlook that." And you're on the grave. Most of us fall one side or the other. But somewhere as Christians, we can't resolve it. We're going to live in this tension. And it's going to be messy. And church is going to be messy. And our lives are going to be messy. Because we can't really resolve this. We can't come to some kind of a resolution. And so John, you know, in his story, he said, we've seen this. He told us several stories that illustrate this. So I'm going to give you a couple of Bible stories that you may be familiar with and that you may remember. There's one called the Samaritan woman. Anybody remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Anybody remember that story? There's a Samaritan woman. Now, just if you're not familiar with it, the Samaritans were half-breeds, all right? So the Jews didn't like them. You're a half-breed. You sold out. You're not one of us. We don't even walk through. They would even walk through the town of Samaria. They would walk around the whole town. They would go out of their way to avoid a Samaritan, all right? They did not like them. Well, here's one day, Jesus goes to a well, and he's thirsty, and he needs some water. And the Samaritan woman comes up, and he says, "Give me some water." And it's like, whoa, she just had to step back. Wait a minute. First of all, I'm a Samaritan. Second of all, I'm a woman. And what are you doing talking to me? That's grace. That's Jesus in his grace. Here's a Samaritan woman. Jesus reaches out to her. It's grace. He's reaching out to her heart and into her life. And yeah, I need some water and I want to touch your life. And he talks about living water. Anybody, you know, he talks about the living water and how he's the answer to all her problems and all her situations. And he's reaching out in grace. Everybody else would avoid her. Nobody would talk to her. Why do you think she came to the well by herself? She had to be maybe a woman of ill repute because none of the other women were there with her. You know, there had to be some issues going on there because she didn't come when everybody else came. She came by herself, and so there's something going on. And so Jesus, in his grace, he reaches out to this woman, this Samaritan woman. In grace, he reaches out to her, talking about living water and healing in her life. And yet, in the midst of that grace, he asks her a question. He goes right to the heart. It's kind of like, here's my grace. And then he takes this little knife out. Where's your husband? Where's your husband? And she goes, she kind of stammers. And he goes, yeah, I know. You've had five. You know, Jesus in the grace is saying, I'm talking with you. I'm reaching out to you. And yet in truth, he's going, wait a minute. You're broken. She had five husbands. Did they die? You know, did they divorce? I don't know. We don't know. But she had five. And then he goes on, like, you know, let's twist it a little bit. The one you're living with ain't your husband now. Yeah. So here's Jesus with grace visiting and touching her heart. And yet here's the truth. How do you walk in that? How do you resolve that? And yet the woman runs into town and goes, I found someone who can heal us and who is the Savior and who's the Messiah. That grace and that truth. Yeah. How do we walk? How do we deal with that? Yeah. There's another story that John recorded as he looked at Jesus' life. It's the story of a guy named Matthew, became one of Jesus' disciples. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. All right. Now, tax collectors in that time, we might feel Uncle Sam robs us now. I don't know how you feel about that. It's getting close to tax season. But back then, the tax collector, that's how they made their living. If you owed Rome 10, they would charge you 20 and keep 10 for themselves and pass the 10 back along. And so here's Matthew. Jesus comes along and says, Matthew, come follow me. Yeah, you have lied, you've cheated, you've stole, you deceive people, you are a traitor to the Jewish people, you're giving Rome and you're helping Rome, but I'm reaching out to you in grace. Matthew, come follow me. Come follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but I could see Peter. I can just imagine this in my head. I could see Peter saying, Jesus, don't you know? He's a thief. He's a robber. Matter of fact, he's robbed me of my tax money. You know that house that he lives in? I paid for some of that because he cheated me. See, I could see Peter saying, the truth is, Matthew is a sinner. Not a good person. He's a liar, cheater. And here's Jesus saying, Matthew, come follow me. There's grace. And I could see Peter, I don't know about you, but I can see Jesus, because here's what happens if you know the rest of the story. They have a party at Matthew's house. Jesus said, hey, we're going to a party. Come on, let's go party at Matthew's house. And I could see Peter going, I ain't going to his house. You know what he did? You know how he built that house? I ain't had anything to do with that guy. He lied. He cheated. That's how he paid for that house. What do you mean? Want me to go to that house? Yeah. I could see that. It's messy. Jesus, there's grace. The truth is, yes, Matthew, you're messed up, Matthew. And you've messed up. But grace says, hey, Matthew, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm walking with you. There's a story when Jesus died on the cross. We're getting close to Easter. You'll hear more about the stories when you wrap around Easter. Jesus died on that cross. And you're familiar with the story. There's two guys with him. Anybody remember that one? There's one guy on each side when Jesus died on the cross. One guy making fun of Jesus. You know, hey, yeah, you know, if you're really the Messiah, get down off the cross. The other guy on the other side goes, listen, we're getting what we deserve. We deserve to die. We are criminals. We have done something wrong. But this man did nothing wrong. We got one guy over here saying, you know what? I'm admitting I'm messed up. I'm admitting I'm a sinner. I'm admitting I need that man in my life. And he's over here on this cross saying that. And Jesus says to him, what? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Jesus didn't say, all right, you're not a bad guy. He didn't say, no, you're not a sinner.
He didn't say, "Ah, guy, you're okay." He didn't tell that guy anything like that. The guy was not okay. The guy was a sinner. The guy was messed up. That's the truth. But the grace was, you can be with me in heaven today. And what's interesting, if you read, and it's fun to read the Bible, and you read through the Gospels, and you're reading the life and the biography of Jesus. And just before this occasion, I could just see Peter, one of the disciples, going, "Now, wait a minute, Jesus. Remember, we just had a conversation with that rich young guy over here. Remember that rich young guy? The guy said, how do I get to heaven? How do I go to it? How do I have eternal life? And you told that guy over there, Jesus, that he had to sell everything he had to go to heaven. That guy over there, that guy over there that you were talking to when he was asking you questions, you told him he had to sell everything to go to heaven. And now you're telling this guy all he's got to do is just confess you and he goes to heaven? That doesn't sound fair, Jesus. That doesn't sound right. How can this guy have to do that and this guy doesn't have to do anything? I mean, he's just going to have to die. That's all he can do. Do you see how grace and truth is messy? You know, how does this work out and how is this fair? And we wrestle with this. If we try to go one side or the other, we're going to miss something. You know, if I lean more towards grace, towards truth, I'm going to miss some of that grace of God. And if I lean more towards grace, I'm going to miss some of the truth. Because here's what usually happens. Here's how it usually plays out. When it comes to me and my battles and my struggles, I'm going to side with grace. But when it comes to somebody else, like you, it's truth. Is that how we live our lives? You know how we have a fancy saying for this? Have you ever said something along this line? You know, I'm going to love everyone, but there's some people I don't. Anybody know how that one finishes? What does it say? There's some people I don't like. Because we're trying to resolve this issue of truth and grace. The truth is, I don't like them, but the fact is there's grace. And how do I resolve that battle with those people out there that, you know, I'm going to love everybody, but the best picture of this, and probably the most familiar picture of this, is the woman caught in adultery. Anybody remember that story? Remember Jesus was teaching one time, and the Jewish leaders and them found some woman and drugged them before Jesus. They had caught her in adultery. I don't know if they were peeping Toms. I don't know how they happened to catch her, you know. But they caught this woman in adultery. And they dragged her before Jesus. And so they dragged this woman before Jesus, and they're going, she committed adultery. The Bible says, the Word of God says, stone her. Now, Jesus could have been a smart aleck, okay? Jesus could have really smartly said, well, you know what? Rome says you can't do it, so get off of it. But he didn't. You know, he says, okay, you want to play this game? Let's play this game. Yeah, it says stone her. All right, so listen. Who hasn't sinned, throw the first stone. Now it says he squatted down and he jotted in the ground. We don't know what he wrote. Some think he might have wrote different kinds of sin, you know, lying and stealing and, you know, different things down there. We really don't know. You know, the truth is, the verdict of adultery was stoning. That's the truth. That's the truth. But there's grace. There's grace. So Jesus stands up and looks around and everybody's gone. And he goes, where's your accuser? And she goes, they're all left. He goes, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. There's the truth. She's guilty. She did it. She deserves the punishment. But there's grace. See, how do we resolve this in our lives? How do we walk through life and wrestle with these issues in our life? When somebody walks up to you and says, this is how I raised my family, and this is what I did, and what do you think? You know, was I wrong? Well, truth says, you know what? Yeah, you were wrong. That's what the truth says.
Grace says, well, you know, you didn't accept this as your principles for life. You didn't accept the biblical worldview, so I really can't say you're wrong. Somewhere in here, how do we resolve, how do we walk through life with this? See, how do we deal with this? Because see, here's the truth, and I'm going to put it here on the screen, and you can fill in these last couple of blanks here, because I think this is really where it's at. The truth is, you are a sinner. That's the truth. But the grace is, Jesus does not condemn us. See, the truth is, we're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the truth. Period. But the grace is, here's the picture. The grace is, Jesus walks up and says, yeah, you're a sinner, but I paid the price, so I'm not going to condemn you. That's the truth. And that's the grace. You're a sinner, but I paid for it. I paid with my life. I became that sacrifice. I gave my blood. They nailed my body to the cross. And now, I'm not going to condemn you. See, that's the truth. Why do we have to have this battle? Why do we struggle in this area? Why do we need this truth and this grace? Because we need to remember this. Let me tell you, here's what you need to remember. Sin has a gotcha. Okay? Really what I'm saying is sin has consequences. Has anybody ever did something wrong? Don't raise your hand, please. But have you ever done something wrong and you did something and then you get the consequences of it and you go, yep, I got what I deserve. Anybody? You know you shouldn't have did it. You know that wasn't the right thing to do, but it jumps up and bites you. See, sin has a gotcha, and God doesn't want it to get you. See, sin has a gotcha, and God doesn't want it to get you. He doesn't want it to jump up and bite you. Have you ever done something, and then down the road, 5 years later, you thought it was behind you? You thought it was the past, but all of a sudden it jumps up in front of your face? I can tell a story. I'm not going to tell it, but I have a story in my life where something was buried for 40 years. 40 years it was buried. Nobody knew for 40 years. Then all of a sudden, it jumps up and bites you. You know, it's like, whoa! Talking about rocking my world. You know? It's like, wait a minute. You know, I thought that was the past. See, sin has a gotcha. Sin has a consequences. And that's what God is sitting there trying to tell us. The truth is, this is sin, and it will get you. It will tear you up. It will destroy your life. It will kill your peace. I think the Bible says something about that. Yeah. That's what sin will do. So I don't want you to go there. But when you go there, if you go there, if you come to me, I have grace. It's truth and grace. I'm sure some of you have watched me as pastor being here so long, dealing with people, and you've wondered, that doesn't seem right. That didn't seem fair. That's inconsistent. Probably so. Because how do you walk this line? I honestly don't know. I know one thing, it's messy. Yeah. Trying to walk between grace and truth is hard. But we need to remember, God is not going to condemn us. The truth is, yes, sin will get you. But there's grace, and God won't condemn us. And that's the challenge for us. One of the best pictures that we have in the scripture wasn't in the Gospel of John. It's in the Gospel of Luke. Some of you recognize the story as a prodigal son. If you're not familiar with the story, what it is, it's the story of a father who is very wealthy. And he has two boys. The youngest one decides he wants his wealth right now. He wants all his money up front, right now. Dad, I know you're not dead, but I want my money now. I want my inheritance now. And he pushed his dad, and he pushed his dad till his dad says, okay. So his dad gives the younger son all his inheritance and says, go ahead and go. If you're familiar with the story, you know what happens. The young man goes off into the city and blows everything. Wine, women, whatever you want to call it.
He just blows everything. And pretty soon he's lost everything, and he's sitting in a pigsty, all right? He's sitting in a pigsty eating pig food, slop. And as he's sitting there, he realizes, even if I go home, I can be a slave and be better off than I am in this pigsty. And so he decides he's going to go home. Yes, I'm a sinner. The truth. I am unworthy. I am messed up. I messed up. I blew everything my dad gave me. And I blew it all. And he turns around to go home. And look at what the scripture says as he went home. Look at what it says here. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, stop there. Now look at that. While he was still a long way off. I want you to think about this. Dad is sitting there watching, still watching for his son to come home. It wasn't knocking on the door, no, my son. He was still probably praying for his son, seeking his son, watching for his son. While he was a long way off, he's seen him. He's seen him. Grace, right? Grace, grace. He's seen him. He stole, he wasted all I gave him. He wasted the inheritance that I worked so hard to keep that I was going to pass down to my kids. And he wasted everything. And he really wished I was dead so he could have it earlier. But grace says, I see my son and he's way off there. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Grace. Son, you wasted everything. What are you doing coming home? What are you doing coming back after blowing everything I gave you? I worked hard to have that for you, to take care of you for the rest of your life. Now, what am I supposed to do? No. That's the truth. That's the truth. But there's grace, compassion, love. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned. The truth. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The truth. The son knew the truth, but the father had the grace. Do you see the picture? How do we walk through life and it's messy? It's messy to live a life that is full of grace and truth. To try to walk and live in this unresolved, inconsistent, unfair world. Anybody ever have their kids tell you, well, that wasn't fair? Anybody ever have your children tell you, that's not fair? You know? Because how do we balance this stuff? We can't. There's no place to balance it. Here's what I want to challenge us. Here's what I'm going to force you. We got to be comfortable in the mess. I know some of you can't hardly stand a mess, but you're going to have to get comfortable in it. Because it's messy. Full of grace and truth. Look, it goes on. Look at how it ends up here. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because his brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let me set you a context here for this part. Remember, there was two boys, right? The youngest one took his inheritance and ran off and blew everything. The other one stayed home. The other one stayed home and served dad, took care of the sheep, took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. He worked hard. His brother had left. He probably had to do twice the work because his brother's gone. And so when his brother comes home and his dad throws a big old party for him, he gets mad because dad never threw a party for me and I've been here the whole time. Matter of fact, you killed my favorite cow to have that party. Yeah? That's the truth. That's the truth. I stayed. I worked. I gave everything. Why are you giving this to the brother who's messed up? Why are you cutting him slack? Why are you letting him slide? That's not fair, Dad. That's messed up. How do we walk through this? How do we resolve this? And Dad says, listen, this is all yours anyway. He doesn't get any of this. There's grace. There's grace. I'm having grace. You need to have grace. See, I want to challenge us. How do we walk through this world? We're going to be in our new church. We're going to be in our new building. And how are we going to act when people walk in and different lifestyles and different choices? How do we live?
They're right. I'm wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. See, I want to challenge us, and I don't know. How can you be comfortable in a mess? I don't know. But when you're full of grace and you're full of truth, there's this tension. And we're going to battle this tension all of our lives. And we read these stories, and there's going to be times when it seems inconsistent. There's going to be times when it doesn't seem fair, you know. Well, this guy just dies on a cross and gets to go to heaven, and this guy has to sell everything. That's not fair. Yeah. Dad, he blew all the money, and I've been working twice as hard since he's been gone, and you're having a party for him. That's not fair. There's this tension, and it's messy. But you know what? They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. See, that's it. They're going to know we're his disciples by our love for one another. In a messy world, in a messy church, in a messy family, love can shine the light and change a heart and change a life. Love can make a difference. See, I want to challenge us to be different. Put it at the bottom of your page. I made it real simple at the bottom of your page. I wrote it this way. The challenge for followers of Jesus is to love in the mess, in the messy, inconsistent, unfair, and confusing way that he did, to hang into the tension. I don't get it. I don't know. Honestly, I lean a little more towards the truth, all right? That's just who Gary is. But I'm going to wrestle with the mess. Because I mess up. And I'm messy. And God said to me, yeah, you're a sinner. But I'm not going to condemn you. You're my child. I love you. Go and love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you're a loving, compassionate God, that in spite of our lives, in spite of the mess we make out of our lives and the mess we make out of church and the mess we make in this world, that you love us. The truth is, Lord, we all fall short of your glory. We all are sinners. But Lord, thank you for your grace. I pray this morning that each and every one here knows the grace, that they are worthy, though they may feel unworthy, because the truth is we are unworthy. But that they may feel worthy through the grace of God. That yes, Lord, we're sinners, that each one in this room will know that yes, that we can confess our sins, but you're a just and righteous God who has forgiven us our sins and has removed them as far as the east is from the west. You have cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, help us live in a world that is messy and be a light and be a salt. Let the world see something different in us, that they would want to come and dwell with us because we're dwelling with you. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You know, as we give